This is going to be a 6-hour podcast, and you're going to listen to every second.
Welcome to the Indrank Pampa. I'll say it again since I'm not drunk. Welcome. Don't laugh. I'm trying to talk. Welcome to the Ninja Empire podcast. Today I'm joined by Chris, Silas and Mark. We're going to talk about the fluff and the fluff section. Hi guys, how you doing?
Hello. Yeah, I'm doing all right. You there, Mark?
Doing okay.
Right, shall we begin?
Yeah.
Do you want to introduce yourself then?
All right. I'm Silas. I'm going to be talking a bit about fluff and general story writing and the story writing section on the Under Empire. I'm one of the mods. You probably all know who I am, and you now know what I sound like, so please don't send any assassins.
And will our other person say anything?
Oh, yes. The other person here is Mark's guitar, who... most of you probably have never heard of, because I'm an old-timey who's been around almost since the site's inception, but has clocked off in recent years. I helped run the first Underdark campaign. I founded Molder Pit Fighters, and I hang out in the RP and Fluff sections all the time.
And I've got a guest with me.
Hi, I'm Shunian.
Well, you're not that old, because you're actually younger than me, and it's nice to actually hear you for a change. You've not gone that... AWOL.
No, not yet.
Not yet. He's planning his retirement from the Undy Empire once everyone is dead.
That's exactly it. Don't tell anyone.
Okay. Why do you think I keep increasing the assassin fees? For the odds gravity, my assassins are incredibly incompetent.
Yeah, we figured that much out.
Yeah. Never hear the end of it of him.
Particular aspect of fluff or Skaven book that you actually like?
I don't know. I'm kind of like two editions out of date with the fluff. I'm in denial about the fluff that's come out lately.
Well, that's generally not a bad thing. The new fluff is kind of shit, you know?
Yeah, let's face it. If we want to do a podcast of, you know, old people in denial, Dan and you would be quite a good mix for that.
Hey! I've only been playing since third.
Yeah.
You were youngins.
Yeah, you've always come across as a cranky old man, even though you're not that old. I don't actually listen to the podcast, to be honest.
Use for you in this, Silas.
I don't have the time.
You know, all the little things we've recorded together that I haven't aired, I think I might just make a word fucking count thing out of it and make you say stuff.
You probably could as well at this point.
Yeah, we've got quite a few of unaired Silas conversations.
Yeah, but yeah, no, it's good. It's good for them to know.
So, Mark, are you in? Is there any particular fluff that you like?
What's the kind of fluff? I've been so divorced from the Warhammer world, except with Molder Pit Fighters, but that's an alternate universe.
We could just give some tips on how to write fluff.
Oh, I can do that.
Yeah, there you go. I mean... I don't write fluff, so that's all in itself interesting to me. So there you go. It's a whole new world for me. I just play Warhammer.
God, a whole new world.
What's the time frame on this?
Time frame? You've got till we get bored and go to bed.
What?
Says you've got till we get bored and go to bed.
Yeah, we're not staying on that long.
Speak for yourself, slacker.
You can. Yeah. You've got until my girlfriend replies to my Facebook message, then I'm sodding off.
Oh, lovely. Quick, disrupt his internet. Oh, no, that won't work for us, will it? To be fair, Skaven probably are very racist.
Yeah.
Being superior beings and all.
No, I'd say they're speciesist. I wouldn't say they're that racist, though.
Oh, it's speciesist.
I mean, the Grey Seers are quite racist, but...
What's the difference between race and species? In the Warhammer world.
That's exactly what I was trying to figure out.
I assume is the divide within, so...
They really aren't races. They're not that distinction. They're proxied by the Warhammer.
Yeah, that's the thing. I assume you get very little racism in the Warhammer world, because mainly it's going to be speciesism.
Yeah.
I don't know, like, Bretonians looking down on Empire people will be racism.
Dark Elves looking down on everyone. Would be
Dark Elves looking down on High Elves and Wood Elves will be racism. looking down on humans will be speciesism.
Yeah, but speciesism doesn't fucking exist. You've just invented it.
No, I haven't. Sorry, but speciesism...
Hang on, I'm getting the online dictionary.
Racism, but when you apply it to a species, not a race.
I'm getting the online fucking dictionary up here. I've never heard of speciesism before.
That's because we don't tend to have, you know, arguments with other species. We don't have other equally intelligent species to look down on, do we? Because they are...
Oh, look, it's on Wikipedia.
It is?
Speciesism. Speciesism involves the assignment of different values, rights, or special consideration to individuals solely based on the basis of their species membership.
See? I don't make up every word.
It's used by animal rights people.
It's used by people like Silas, who consider himself a different species to the rest of the world. That's what it is.
Yeah, I just consider myself one. I'm not actually one. That would be silly.
Yeah, yeah. What's that, Gracia?
Yeah.
And you thought Mark wouldn't say anything.
It's fine. He tends to communicate.
If you bring up racism, I start talking. I'm a sociologist. What do you expect?
Yeah, that's
a point. How old are you, Mark?
I don't know. Hold on.
Brilliant. Only a guy could get away with that. We mean tell you to the second.
I want to say 23. But I'm not sure. I stopped counting.
Oh, you're brilliant. You are brilliant.
Are you sure we're counting most of this in?
You can have Mork forgetting his age in, but...
How old am I? Who knows? He's good with psychology and racism, but not with math.
I'm 23. I am 23.
Let's set up a
party. How old are you now, Dan?
Too old.
That's obvious. You're both old, but...
It would be my... 14th, 18th birthday.
What?
Do the math.
Yeah. 14th, that makes you what? 32?
Ding, ding.
Okay, so you're 32, you're 24, and I'm 20. Old people. Alright, anyway, we were going to do a segment on fluff and stuff, weren't we?
Yeah, not just random bollocks and age.
Yeah.
And speciesism, apparently.
It's a real word!
I'm amazed.
No, because it makes sense, you know.
Well, that gears on very speciesism. Fucking humans. Anyway.
Yeah, wow.
Right, okay then. Let's start on the fluff. Do you have any favourite books, Silas?
I wouldn't say favourite books, right? I haven't read that much Skaven fluff. Like, I've read the Grey Seer trilogy and I've been reading The Dead Winter or The Seal. I've no idea. Is it Werner? I've no idea how it's pronounced. But I've been reading all of those and I like them. But the actual bit of Skaven fluff, I like writing Grey Seers. I find that very enjoyable just because there's something quite amusing. Like, Skaven, you're writing a bit of a megalomaniac anyway. You're a crazy power-hungry nut no matter what. But I like having the magic to back it up. The real gravitas and true absolute insanity of a Grey Seer.
Yeah, well, that's generally the encapsulation of Grey Seers. How about you, Mark? Have you any reading you recommend? Being a older member, you can perhaps bring back some good fluff, because quite a few of the old books, I must say, are quite superior to the new stuff they pump out, so...
Yeah, I don't know. I think I'm not a huge fan of most of the fluff. Anything by Dan Abnett is good.
Yep, I can agree with that. Yep. Yeah. Dan was a good writer, man.
He was. Is he still writing?
I thought he left Games Workshop. Or am I wrong now?
Well, he still writes. He writes a lot of other stuff, too. But
probably look at what he actually writes now.
Yeah. But other than that, really, most of it, I think, is not particularly well done. I enjoyed the Gotrek and Felix books, even though I know they're complete rubbish. Especially Skaven Slayer. And a lot of the Malice Darkblade books were fun, even though it was the same plot produced over and over again. I think that's a lot of the problem with the Black Library books, is they just take a single plot and just rehash it over and over again and call it a series.
See, he agrees with me, Silas. It's not just me. I liked the, as I can pretty much agree with you, I like the Gotrex and Felix series, and I read all the army books and all the fluffers in the army books because it really interests me how they're changing things. And there's like hints as to where they're going to go next in the new books. But I've got Grey Seer by C.L. Wiener, I'm going to call him, for Thankwell and Bowery.
You realise he may be listening? You realise he does frequent the forum occasionally?
He does.
Does he? Good for him.
Yep.
Right, and I gotta say, I got about a third of the way through the book, and I just thought, this is so samey that I can't bring myself to finish it.
See, I admit I don't read that much of the official fluff. Most of my fluff reading is stuff people on the Under Empire write.
Yeah.
People write during Animosity. I've got, you know, stacks of Ratty stuff I should have read that he will never let me hear the end of it until I actually read it all. No, there's a lot of
stuff. Have you read all of mine? I have over 100 stories on the Under Empire.
Yes, I've heard Ratty moan about them a lot. I think half the links are broken. He plans to kill you once he fixes them all. But what there is for everyone reading, in the fluff section, there is the completed novels guide, which I believe is what Ratty's updating.
Yeah.
All the completed novels, I believe chronologically, where they've just all been indexed. And there's quite a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, really? Really is.
Right, well,
they're good.
And even beyond that, there's the entire campaign story link section, which I believe is also... Yeah, that's big. That's big.
You'll have to throw me the link for this archive. I mean, I've not read a vast amount on the Under Empire, but I did read some.
It's pinned. It's a pinned thread. I think it's a pinned subforum in the fluff section.
Yeah, and then there's the entire... can you guys view the Chronicles? I think you guys can view the Chronicles of Inheritance.
Well, we used to.
I can, because I'm a Lord of Decay.
It used to have its entire own section, didn't it?
Well, if you go on Thunder Empire now and tell me if you can view it.
It's a very bottom forum post, but there's fuck all in it.
If you go into the Chronicles of Inheritance, it's actually divided into 7 different sub-forums for each campaign. So you've got all the Storm of Chaos stuff in the first one, all the Civil War stuff, then the Legacy of the Ancients, the Kinsmen War, the Warhammer Insight Fantasy campaign, the Nemesis Crown, and the Underdark. Underdark 1.
The Nemesis Crown doesn't show for me.
The Nemesis Crown? You can't... I'll have a talk with someone. There should be stuff... I'll check. You should be able to have access, I think. Yeah, and then there's Underdark 1. So there is a lot of stuff. I'll toss you links for all of this stuff.
Alright, cool. Well, I think they might have screwed up the priorities on one of the forums, because there's only 6 that I can see.
Interesting. Yeah. Which ones can you view?
From the bottom up, it's Underdark, Warhammer Intensity Fantasy Campaign, Kinsmen War, Legacy of the Ancients, Civil War, Storm of Chaos.
I don't know why you can't view Nemesis Crown, then.
Don't really need to. It was kind of awful.
Yeah,
really.
Well, it was better than the Storm of Magic one, which wasn't even a campaign. It was just a online battle track.
Most of the campaigns weren't particularly memorable, except for Storm of Chaos, the Civil War, and the Underdark, really.
Yeah, and Storm of Chaos was only really interesting because we actually had an impact on the plot of Storm of Chaos.
Oh, the Storm of Skaven, yeah.
Yeah.
We have
impact on everything. Yeah. No, we did. And we were the ones behind the Doom Hemisphere. That was an Under Empire project. That worked
that was Shiva.
That was Shiva. Shiva. It was.
Yeah.
Then
we
got the Civil War. We've got Underdark 1.
Okay, you're getting ahead of yourselves here, guys. So, do you want to talk about any more books? Or are we just going to skip straight on to talking about the forums since we seem to have jumped ahead?
I don't read that many books. I have no money.
I don't read that many books. I don't think they're very good.
Well, there you have it, folks. Don't buy books. They're not very good. borrow your
books. Mark's books. Mark's books are very good.
Mark sells books.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, onto the forum. We've been talking about the forum, weren't we?
Yes, yes. Go forth and plug your section.
Right. We've got the role-playing section and the fluff section, so fluff section, to people who don't know, it's right at the bottom of the forum. It is actually quite good to view, because we've got the story writing competitions. There's not one at the moment. One will probably be starting in February, though Ratty tends to run those and I help out. So we've got the story writing competitions, the competition winner list, which are the story writing competitions, very short stories, normally 500 words, a bit more. You got a whole month to write it. It's great fun. We've got the clan compiler list, which is just a little bit of details about your Skaven clan, and we're listing them all. We've got over 100 clans on there now. That's my job to update, I think. Yeah, we've got 106 clans and one more that I need to add at some point. And then we've got all sorts of things. I mean, you know, we normally put a team together whenever there's another online campaign, and we're normally quite fun for that, so...
Cool. Well, yeah, I did actually post on it recently, so I just want to say that I've read some of Sketch's stuff, and I thought it was pretty good. It's fairly short, but, you know, you're not story writers, really, are you? It's not going to be a book. So I think it's definitely worth checking out. It wasn't as bad as I expected some of it might be, because, well, you know me. I like my bleak, dark future in Batman.
Yeah, no, Sketcher stuff is definitely the best for you. It's quite dark and grim, and
I've got to say,
dies slowly and painfully.
There is one thing that
Sketcher's going to give me hell for this.
Right? There's a line in his what's it called, Sketching, right, where he says that the rat's eyes bulge, right. And when have you ever had a pet rat? You know, you make their eyes bulge.
No.
Right. Well, their eyes like do a bulgy thing when they're really happy. So it just made me think of that, and I just spat like coffee out across the room when I was reading it. So it was a kind of a mood breaking point, you know. It was like, and there's a grim dark future, and then the rat bulges its eyes. And I was like,
we've got a fair amount of stuff, and I'm just looking for it now. We've got Ratty Shoe, Scalax, Krikko, Shoe, Azuland, Ratty, York, One, Commissar, Ratty. But Ratty writes a lot, as you can tell.
Yeah, we should really get Ratty on. He can read a segment or something.
He could. That'd be quite fun, actually. Just have him read a bit. No, I've done some massive things. Like, I did Black Chasm, which was, oh god, that's 30,000 words. That took me an entire year. For anyone who hasn't looked at Black Chasm, I'm going to shamelessly plug it now. It's a Skaven hold, and I built it, pretty much. I went, there's no fluff on that. I'm going to write the entire hold. And it's about 30,000 words, and I split the hold into 128 different sectors, each with a little description, most of them having plans with a leader, and all sorts of things. And people, read my fluff, please. No one ever commented on it.
Well, we'll stick a link in. Send us a link, yeah. And we'll try and get people to...
That's my shameless plug done. So.
Shamelessplug.com. Do you want to plug something, Mark?
I don't have anything to plug anymore. I don't know, my last post in the for Fluff on the Fluff section was almost a year ago. When Silas dragged me into one of the animosities. Number six.
Yeah.
Yeah, he does that, doesn't he? Tries to drag people in, kicking and screaming.
Yeah, reasonably good at that. No, we've got the role playing section as well, which is much more a bit more casual, but quite fun, I think. Though we haven't got many actual Skaven ones running at the moment. Inquisi Rats is wrapping up. Sketches, I think Archangel is probably going to wrap up at some point.
Yeah, that's ending soon.
So yes, if anyone has new ideas for a role play to run, come down to the role play section. Even if you haven't got a system, between Mork and I, we can probably make something up for you to use. Skull and Villainy's ending, but we've got plans for a new one. So, yeah. Come visit the role-playing and fluff sections. We don't get anywhere near enough people down there because, for some reason, it's stuck at the bottom of the forum. And this is something I've argued against vehemently and been shut down.
Boo. Well, we could try and promote it. You could always do some live podcast thing and try and promote it. Saves all that typing. You can just talk to people, doesn't it?
No, that is an idea, actually. An idea would be something like write a story in a day where we'd all work together and, you know, try and come up with a story bit by bit, you know, effectively an online chat, 24 hours, where we'd all try to help each other write stories. I mean, we have got in the fluff section somewhere, I will admit, we tried to get some more ideas from people. Where is it? Here, suggestion and ideas for the section. We didn't really get much, so please, if anyone has ideas, we could use some help, because it turns out Rashi and I, the ones who are running it, are incredibly incompetent.
What you need is, you need like the ultimate idiot's guide, because with things like this, I just don't know where to start. I don't know what's over the top, what's beyond the limits. It's, you know, it's like, in fact, I've even posted on it. The second post was mine. It says, this is deep out of my territory.
Yeah. All right. No, a guide. That's a good idea. That's a good idea. I'll make Rashi write one at one point.
Yeah, you want the complete, total idiot's guide. No holes barred.
Now, for anyone, I'll give brief tips anyway, and hopefully Mort can give some more as well. Brief tips. Pick something. Pick a leader. It's normally easier to write from a leader's point of view, because you can kind of justify having a bit more control. You know, a warlord, an assassin, anything, and just, what are they? I'm most people, you've got an army, you've got a general in your army. Pick that character. A lot of my character, Grey Seers. That's just because I like using a Grey Seer in a battle. So I kind of made up fluff around it. So come up the character, give them a name. A name can be anything. Names, you can spend a lot of time fussing over a name. Hit some keys randomly on the keyboard, move letters around a bit, and you've got a name. You know, then just a story. So pick, you normally fight against whatever army you fight against. Have some grudge or something. Why are you fighting them? Come up with why your general is fighting them. What's he after? Then say you've just lost a battle. You could write your general, I don't know, kicking a few minions and blaming them for his loss. And even just fluffy battle reports can be a good way to get into it, because you know your story already, but then if you write a fluffy battle report where, say, you're in the mind of your general or one of your heroes or something, you can then develop a bit of personality on that character within the confines of a battle report, and you can expand that out. So that's what they did in the battle. What are they doing after the battle? Are they kicking their minions? Are they, you know, ordering the unit champions for your slaves to be executed gruesomely because they broke at the really, really bad moment?
Well, you could do something like that. You know, I'm trying to remember what it's called, but do you remember that game that I joined because they posted in the off-topics section? And I played that for a bit.
There were lots of games in off-topic at one point. We made our own little sub-forum.
It was another forum. It was some kind of, let me see if I can find it. But basically, I think I ripped more fluff for that than I for anything else. Because what it was like a turn-based strategy game. But you had to write fluff for what your characters were doing, what your soldiers were doing. And as it went along, it like encouraged you to write more fluff.
That's always why we get more people writing during campaigns, because you've got your campaign movement and stuff, and then you can kind of write fluff around your character in the campaign.
Well, maybe you should try doing something like that and try and...
We're working on it, believe me.
Are you? All right, then.
Really am. Maybe if Mork would help
with
descriptions.
If Mork maybe wasn't writing a paper every 2 weeks.
Yes, well...
Possibly.
And there's a reason I always try and round people up for animosity campaigns, but...
Yeah, but you are the most enthusiastic person, right? When I talk to other people on animosity, it's like... And I don't have the motivation to carry on. People are going to be like that. And it's like...
Right. Well, give us some time, and we're working on getting our own campaign running, but it takes a lot of time because there's a lot that needs writing.
Yeah.
It really is, believe me.
I might be dead by then.
Probably. Especially if my plan comes to fruition.
It will be a worthy death.
See, I was going to make that threat, but I'm on the council, so I'm not allowed to threaten to kill the members anymore. That's in the council rules. You may not threaten to kill members. Well, it's not actually. We're not actually that evil.
Rewrite the laws.
See, I can't make jokes about the council anymore. I keep being afraid someone will take them seriously.
No, you should do it, man. Stuff it. If they can't take a joke, then you know.
It's not council people I'm worried about taking the joke badly, but plus my jokes are terrible. But yeah, no, we are. If there are enough people interested, I'd be happy to try and run a kind of workshop where we'd get, say, 5 or 6 people and we'd all follow the same kind of structure and write the same kind of story over, say, you know, a couple of weeks where we'd write a little bit, but we don't want to run anything because we're not sure there's going to be enough interest.
I think if you make it idiot-proof, if you've got an absolute ultimate guide to doing it that is beyond detailed, you'll get people. Because I'll join in. If it's idiot-proof, I'll do it. You know? But it has to be idiot-proof. Because there becomes a point where you start asking yourself, well, can I do this? Can I do that? Castles, that's what it was called.
Okay.
I played Castles on another Zeta board, and I actually became dwarfs because we were playing this roleplay-esque thing, and my Skaven army died, and there were some dwarves, and I became these two dwarves with these silly names, and I kept posting when I was drunk, and they kept going, oh, well, you should be a dwarf, you sound like a dwarf, anyway. And then I was like, oh, someone stole my Book of Drudges, so I was like, I must hate everyone, because everyone needs to now be in the books, I can't remember who was in it before. And it was just stuff like that.
It works in fairness. You can have a lot of fun writing quite absurd stuff. I'm pretty sure half of Ratty's characters have been insane engineers who want to blow everything up.
Yeah, well, mine was a play monk, my initial character. But... but yeah, I think if you write something that's idiot-proof, you'll get a lot more support. I think this suffers from a lot of things. What I'm currently doing is I'm doing like a blog thing for coders because there's so many bad coding guides going around because they just miss stuff because they're super nerds and they expect you to know half of it already and you don't. So you have to answer the stupid questions as though no one knows what the hell you're talking about.
Right.
And that is the best way to build support, I find, because if you make it so that your mother could do it, then it's like, yeah, anyone could do this. There's no reason to not join up.
No, it's a good idea. I'll get on it at some point when I have time, possibly, or I'll make Ratty do it.
Yeah, you heard it here. It's January 2014. Let's see how long it takes.
God, you know how slowly things can take to get done.
Take your own initiative, boy. Do it yourself.
Yeah, well, I'd work a lot harder if I got paid to be a mod.
Well, you're not paid. It's a thankless job. We're not getting paid for these podcasts.
That's until you start running ad revenue.
Never.
Yeah.
I own the site. I stand by this comment. Never. I'm not putting ads on the website.
Yeah, I'm going to have to save a recording of you saying that.
It can go on this, and you can just go, you remember Pod 5? So, are there any particular things you like in the fluff section that you haven't already talked about?
I think I've spoken on everything. Mork, you, anything?
No, I think you covered everything.
Mark right. Gives a quiet head shake.
Time to apply the magic of editing to make my incoherent ramble actually sound logical and handy.
What editing? I'm just going to push it live with this 10-minute chat at the start. You're going, terrorist bombing.
Ooh, sod.
Nah, I'll shave the beginning off. I don't know if I'll do anything else, but I'll shave that off.
Alright, we all done then?
Can be if you're desperate to get away from your girlfriend since you've got one now.
Shut up! Why did I tell you?
Because you couldn't keep it to yourself. They were like, I have a girlfriend! Yay!
Right. Yeah, with that, I think I'm going to leave you to apply magic of editing, because I have apart from anything else, I actually do have other things I need to be doing, because I need to be looking for somewhere to live. So it's been a wonderful chat, gentlemen.
Right. Anyway, bye. Yes, so I was a little bit on earlier. Right, what are we discussing then about the fluff?
Right. We tried to talk about all the different aspects of it, starting with if there's any books you've read that you'd recommend, but everyone said no, they wouldn't. So is there any books particularly that you like?
I mean, I always did enjoy the earlier Gotrek and Felix works with just getting the early idea of the Skaven. You get to sort of see with Skaven Slayer quite a lot of the main clans, quite naturally, a lot of their sort of individuality and their differences, as well as also the introduction of Gracie Vanquil as well. I would recommend that one anyway. A lot of C.L. Verner's stuff is also very decent, really. The Black Plague trilogy, for example, I did find very interesting with his take on the Council of 13. But I'd say as a good starting point, really, I'd go for Gotrek and Felix, Skaven Slayer. Just gives you really that sort of more of an intro, I find, into them.
Yeah, I think we've all read the Gotrek and Felix section as an introductionary
section. I think everyone has anyway, yes.
I've got to admit that is definitely a good one. But what I was saying earlier is I've got Gracia by C.L. Wiener, as I call him. And I was told off for calling him that because apparently he visits the forum.
He does.
I can't bear myself to finish it because I just find it so samey. And then they all went, "We don't buy books because we're tight and poor." So it kind of went from there, Ratty. So that was the general feel of it, you know. Which was the books that you said you recommended?
Well, ones that I'd recommend, other than the obvious one that we all know anyway, of Skanster. I get what you're saying with the whole Verner's Gracia book, because there are a few bits in it I found a little bit. The Shadow Mage, for example, I thought was a little bit overpowered, but when you're against Fankor, I think you need to get overpowered to try and take him on, really, as far as things concerned. But book-wise, there isn't really as much as there could be with Skaven books. Is, I suppose, is a sad thing, really. There was the short version or short book that was released by Verner again. What was it? The Hour of Shadows, which was done with the Storm of Magic. I think that was the . Christ, I feel old already.
Is that an e-book or an actual book, or is it both?
It was actually released, I believe, as an actual book for a limited time only. That's the introduction of the Blackseers, the ones who are into necromancy.
You see, that tends... Why does Games Workshop do that? All the good shit is always limited release.
Yeah.
Like, they know it's good. It's like, we put effort into this, it's limited release, no one else can have it, fuck them. Ho ho ho.
Yeah, I think really Skaven have got quite popular of late, really. I mean, you are seeing a lot more books actually written about them and a lot more really interest in them. You can say it's more from the actual gaming perspective of it anyways. Obviously, all the other podcasts you have discussed, really. The Skaven shall rise supreme. Well, we already have risen supreme. Ha 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 ha.
Ha 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 ha. Join us and die. or join us and don't die, whichever you prefer.
Well, going to slavery, basically, but there's always sort of room in the warp mines for everyone.
I think the main thing with the Skaven is because of the sheer number and the premises of them and how badly it's going for the other races. I mean, I've often talked at length about fluff for other races, which gets cut out of the podcast because it's not actually relevant. We just end up going off on a tangent about it all. But I've often talked about what would possibly happen because with the Lizardmen and the High Elves coming out, it's all been about the plan of the Old Ones and the High Elves, and the Phoenix King knows that they're doomed and he knows that they can't win. And if you read the High Elf book, he goes on about how if they're going to die, they're going to go out in a blaze of glory. And
Skaven do that about every day, though.
Yeah, but it would have severe ramifications, though.
Oh, yeah.
If you follow the logic through, if the High Elf suddenly went, right, we're going to take every High Elf, we're going to go north, we're going to fight Chaos, and they'd kill lots of Chaos, but eventually they'd all die, right? The ramifications of that would be then the Dark Elves would hate who exactly? Because the High Elves wouldn't exist anymore. They wouldn't be denied going home, you know, and Malekith was the chosen of the High Elves. He was the highest of the high before he went crazy. So he might then suddenly have a relapse into reality and go, what the fuck have I done? You know what I mean? And it would seriously change things because the Dark Elves might become the good guys then. Because they might go, well, actually,
they've always been the good guys.
The voice from the void.
Want to explain that more, Kenny?
I mean, I've always really had a soft spot for Malekith. He had some fair criticisms of High Elf society. I mean, at the very least, he's certainly, actually, I think, a lot more open than the High Elves ever really were.
That is true, really.
Well, that's the defining point that I'm getting at, because once the whole High Elves are out of the way, it'd be like, well, actually, you manipulated me and turned me on my brothers. And he would turn on his mother, wouldn't it? Because it'd be like, well, we've been at war for 1,000 years, and for what? They died.
It really is a mommy's boy.
And, you know, it'd go fucking mental, wouldn't it? He'd either go mental and he'd join Chaos, or he'd go mental the other way and he'd exile his mother, and then it'd be the same shit all over again.
The Dark Elves and the Darker Elves.
Yeah, the Dark and the Dark Dark Elves. But, you know, but the
Fifty
thing
Shades
is,
of Dark Elves.
The thing is that Malekith don't believe in half measures. So if he decided to be good guy and go back, and then he kicks his mother out and says, "No, you're an evil Slaanesh worshipping whore," he'd probably go,
she
right.
Is, yeah.
We've took Ulfwe back. He'd probably go then and try and help the Wood Elves, wouldn't he? He'd probably go, right, I need more people. We'll go that way and we'll kick the shit out of everyone bothering the Wood Elves and go, actually, we are the good guys. We've come to help you. And it would be like a Middle Ages Warhammer because it would just redefine everything. Because could you imagine how freaked out the Wood Elves would be? It'd be like, the Dark Elves are coming. Oh, actually, they're on our side. What?
It'd be like a really
bad hangover. You'd be like,
it would, yeah.
I'm awoken from a terrible dream.
The whole High Elves going to their final last stand thing strikes me a bit strange, though, because you get the impression with all the lore and that and all the fluff that pretty much they're the only thing just about holding the whole world together. All they've got their ghost island, which they're holding the power of chaos in check there. They've got other sort of polar areas they more or less have sealed off. I mean, you've got... Island of Blood. There was a book released for it as well.
Yes, there was.
And the whole premise of that is even that island is only just holding even those spells in check. Just this one island that has to always be guarded by the High Elves. And if it ever isn't properly guarded, all hell's going to break loose. It's also the same with Albion as well. With Giant Slayer, They have the whole thing of it's on the cusp. If this bit falls, the whole Spurs unraveled. Chaos is going to destroy everything. So if the High Elves are sort of taking this final last stand, what's this going to mean for the world? Well, maybe we'll see the Skaven come forward and sort of save everyone.
Well, it's that thing, isn't it? It's that the High Elves can't maintain what they've got, so they're going to launch an all-out offensive. From the sounds of the High Elf book, that's the plan, to launch an all-out offensive against Chaos, because Chaos is the enemy, Chaos is the bad guy.
Mm.
Now, if they could do enough damage to Chaos to weaken their grasp on Malekith, you could have that whole series of events I were talking about.
It's possible, yes.
I mean, what happens if Malekith and his mother are no longer possessed by T'Zinch?
What is it, Slaanesh?
It's Slaanesh. It's Slaanesh. It's pleasure. It's the pleasure god, isn't it?
Yeah. Probably all the Chaos gods got their own their fingers in there anyway.
It's really interesting to hear you guys say all these names. Do we you pronounce things completely differently from how I'd always pronounce things?
Do we?
I'll probably pronounce things wrong anyway.
Yeah. I mean, just the two Chaos Gods you just mentioned, I've always heard it as Tzeentch and Slaanesh.
It's Slaanesh and T'Zinch, and Warhammer came from the UK, so...
It did!
I claim booyah! Where did you write? Because he's from the UK. I've heard a couple of...
Don't argue with that.
You can't argue with that Crazy Games Workshop logic. It's not that they'd release, you know, like an FAQ a month after they've released an army book. Telling you that they've done an entire army book in bad English or anything like that. Even though English is our own language, technically.
Mm-hmm.
End sarcasm quotes.
At least I haven't released a fact of how to pronounce everything.
That's in 10th edition, that. Audio ebooks that tell you how to say the names.
Oh, there'd be so many arguments over that, though, saying, but this person sort of is an English person pronouncing.
Yeah. And they'd go, it's an English fucking game, fuck you. Veto!
Oh, dear lord. dear horned one.
Yes, and the horned one we trust, all else we monitor.
Yes, that is our saying. Anyway, I suppose I should probably get a bit more back away from the pointy-eared slim things. And get a little bit back onto Skaven fluff, because they've got, I suppose in a way they're similar and yet so very different anyway from this whole Elven thing. I mean, you've got the whole idea of the Elves are going out in a blaze of glory. Well, Skaven sort of do that almost every day with whole clans more or less sort of destroying one another.
Yeah.
Mad inventions coming, I wouldn't say heroes, but... great Skaven heroes rising and dying almost within hours. Well, hours if they're lucky. Seconds are more actually the accurate. I suppose it's quite hard really to really write a proper Skaven in a story theme really than it would be to elves or dwarves or even men.
Well, the thing
because they've got more character.
Yeah, they've got more character. I think they're more human is the best way to put it, because they do what they feel is right rather than what's right by theirs. But they are heavily influenced by Chaos. In the old books, the Great Horned One was considered a demon of Chaos, and the Plague Monks worship Nurgle. So if the High Elves battered Chaos, what would happen to Skaven? Would Skaven suddenly have a change of heart? Would it be we've been driven to this, we thought, because we wanted it, but actually we've been influenced to do it? It's all ifs, buts, and how do you take the storyline to actually be? Because I know they've shied away from it in the new editions, because the new story writers can't write anything. They're fucking wankers. They can't even write a fucking rule, but we had a 10-page FAQ. I'm sorry, but it's true. So, I know, the old fluff is far better, and the old fluff mentions Chaos a hell of a lot. Skaven are like the fifth Chaos race that no one wants to talk about.
I thought that was Malau. That was meant to be the fifth Chaos God that they ended up writing out. Malau is meant to just be a whole more destruction-based sort of god who actually wants to destroy the other four. It gets stupidly complex from what I've read of the past of the whole Chaos Gods. In fact, I think it was quickly even retconned the whole thing about it being Chaos Ratmen. Because that's what it originally was going to be, and they almost retconned it almost from the offset, and they went, let's make it a bit more individual, even though they're sort of chaos-y, but not exactly, but they sort of are, but...
Well, yeah, you're going back to, like, 3rd edition there. That's when they said that Skaven were part of Chaos. But, no, you're right. The retconned that out, and then just when it's the Plague Monk's influence on the Skaven is what it is, because they worship plagues, and so does Papa Nurgle.
And they've also got their leader is called Nurglitch.
Yeah, yeah.
Which has always, it's always been the in-joke, really, especially on the Under Empire as well, with the whole, oh... So are you meant to all be then worshipping Nurgle, or are you not?
I think they do in secret. I think the reality is they're probably more open about it in the past, but I think given the society that they have, I think they do actually worship Nurgle. They just don't realise it.
Yeah, they could be deluded into it more and think, oh, Nurgle is just this lesser god. The Horned Rat is actually far more superior in decay and disease.
Well,
he's almost one of the underlings, if you will.
In 3rd edition, the Horned Rat was actually the trickster god, Slaanesh.
Oh my.
In 3rd edition. So they were actually officially Chaos. And it wasn't until 4th and 5th that they decided that they weren't. So, yeah, it was all the trickster god in 3rd edition.
Hey, trickster god? Wouldn't that have been Tzeentch, though?
No. Tzeentch was the changer of ways. He didn't lie to people.
I never saw really Slaanesh really as so much the more of a trickster, really, then. Yeah.
That's the other thing, isn't it? Well, they've changed everything since then, so it's But it, back then, it really was. It was like an in-joke thing that they were minions of chaos without realizing they were minions of chaos. Kind of, but they've walked away from all that, and now we have the Great Horned Rat, which is the Great Horned Rat, which is a demon, which isn't a demon. But I don't know how much of that runs true with the old fluff, because the old fluff was that it was Slaanesh and Nurgle.
But then again, you can easily retcon almost the whole thing in itself by questioning the whole way the realms of chaos even work with the gods. What actually makes the gods? Is it more of a belief system or fractures in of the old ones themselves, sort of formed from the base emotions? Could there then rise a new god, as in the Horned Rat, from the actions of the other god, but almost create it unintentionally? You can argue bloody anything, really.
Well, yeah, that's why we try and argue it from a fluff point.
Well, the fluff point gets so silly complex.
That's just because the new versions are so lame. I think you would be better off saying that, saying that the old ones died and resurrected themselves as the Horned Rat. That would be an epic storyline. That would have, because that has far-reaching implications, because the old ones created the Slaan, which are in Lustria, and the only two races to invade Lustria are the Dark Elves, which, if Ulfwey was destroyed and the Dark Elves became the High Elves, then that would negate that. And if they became if the old ones became the Horned Rat and influenced Skaven away from attacking the Slaan, then that has its own implication, doesn't it? That's like they're saying, leave our minions alone, attack everyone else. But I don't know. It's hard to place where exactly the fluff lies, because the new books for Lizardmen, although I'll give them this, the new stories are kind of crap compared to the old ones. But the new book for Lizardmen is quite good, because it does explain in detail why things are done the way they are. And it gives you a very strong sense of how frustrated the skinks are. Because the skinks are like the overlords. They run everything while the slanders whatever he wants to do. And in the end, it basically goes, oh, fuck this shit. I'm just going to lie to the slan and tell him that these people have done all this shit that they ain't done, so that the giver's the authority to get rid of them. Because the slan don't care. If, you know, unless someone's like proper hostile, the slan aren't bothered. So they're like, leave the dark elves alone, they're all exploring, and the skinks are there jumping up and down going, they fucking killed us, man, and they came and fucking stole his shit. So there's this point in the new, in the 8th edition book, where the skinks just get together and are like, fuck this shit, we're just going to make it up. So then when they have an incursion, they just make up these horrible stories, and then the slan just goes, okay, take all these stories and kill them. And that's what happens. And
just a quick, almost slightly off, well, not still on topic-ish, but because I haven't actually had the pleasure to really read the new Lizardmen book properly. Did they mention at all the Vampire Coast with the Arch Commodore Luther Harkon?
Not a fan. Give me a second, I've got it right to you. Any particular reason you ask?
It's because in briefly before they more or less retconned him, they tried retconning him in the Dreadfleet. Meant to be one of the great vampire ancestors, because there's the something like about seven or so vampire survivor families from the original fall of Larmia.
Do you know what year that's around?
Oh, off the top of my head. No, I can't remember, I'm afraid.
Did you say the Vampire Coast?
Yeah. It would probably still be marked anyway, but he's meant to actually have been one of the great foes of the Lizardmen, not just the Dark Elves, almost as bad, if not worse. But he's more or less sacked several of the great temple cities in his time. I mean, that's an area of the bluff that has more or less been just forgotten. That's the whole thing with the whole zombie pirates of the Vampire Coast and Lustria appearing. That was, yeah.
It says in 876, the Vampire Coast, a vampire named Luther Archon created the Undead Realm.
Yep. Mork's linked a... In the Skype chat, he's linked a little bit on there. Yeah, the mad vampire. Sanity was shattered in the end. It's got quite interesting rules in a white dwarf. Because, I mean, sorry.
That comes after the Age of Elves. Because it's before that that they decide to start making shit up, apparently.
Huh.
So, let's see if there's any in-depth reading on it, but don't think there will be from the sounds of it, because it was pretty much, we don't like elves, they're stealing our shit, let's make stuff up. And then the slan went, yeah, whatever, and then the skinks realised that if they say certain things that the slan will just agree. And then it's basically the skinks' Lun Rustria, really. Because the slan are only interested in chaos.
Yeah. Well,
aside from that, there's no real mention of it anymore. I do remember what you're referring to, because I've got a vampire army and Skaven army, so I've got the rule books for them. But yeah, it's like what you say. It's one of these things that's been retconned out of existence. There's a cliff note in the Chronicles of Lustria, which says that in 876, the Vampire Coast was established by Luftan Archon. Mm. But that's it.
Yeah. Such a pity with sort of more they could have done for that character even. So they made a brief reference to him in the Dreadfleet, because they did I think I mentioned before, they did a book version of that as well. And they made a reference, but the way the reference was done more or less hinted that he'd been killed off. Which I was quite upset about that. I liked the guy.
Well, this doesn't say he's dead. It just says that he made the undead realm and eventually named the Vampire Coast, where the bodies of drowned sailors killed in treacherous waters would rise again in the cold depths to haunt the lands. So...
Yeah, I'm just surprised that that isn't made more of a thing, really, in the whole sort of... Just little bits like that, really, as we're saying. You've got the whole Malau thing. You've really got Saving the Vampire Coast. Even things like Nippon as well. Well, there used to be a bit more about that,
I
believe.
This is a thing, isn't it? See, what surprises me a lot, and this is why I think they're going to bring out a new army in the next couple of years, they've glossed over things like that, which used to be major events. They talk a lot about the elves. But they also went out of the way, right, to talk about halflings. And they talk about halflings as a race riven up as others were, quote unquote. And in those quotes, it mentions like high elves and dwarfs and ogres. You know, and it has a similar kind of tone in the high elf book. So I think we're going to get a halfling army at some point in the near future.
I'm not so sure, really, since I expect them more to be some sort of supplement, sort of a thing, really, that you can do as a almost sort of with the sort of Empire, sort of part of their rules with their sort of magic items list.
Well,
because I recall... Yeah.
If they retcon everything in 9th edition, and everything's included in the rulebook,
yeah,
halflings could be true neutral. And they could be the allies of all good races.
They more or less would be, really.
Because
although
it just seems that every new good book has a mention of halflings for some unexplained reason. And it's like a hint that they're going to do something. I know that seems organised for Games Workshop, like, but... It's in the army books, and having read the old army books and got them on the shelf next to me, it's like, well, is this a sign of something's coming, or am I really just getting this into my head? But they've never mentioned... See, why would the Lizardmen even talk about halflings? They've never talked about them before, ever. At all.
Oh,
that'd
be a talk about halflings.
You know, they don't like anyone. They're like, oh, you fuck off, it's my spawning pool. You know, they're like that. They're miserable toad things that just don't care. But there's such a passion in the new book. It's all like from the skink's perspective. And they're so frustrated that the slan doesn't do anything when they get attacked, that they start just making shit up, is basically what it says. And it's like, oh, well, the chem. And he's like, the chem with what? And he's like, oh, well, terrible things. And he's like, oh, what terrible things? Like, the terriblest things you can imagine. And he's like, yeah, you're blatantly making this up, aren't you? It sounds like you're making it up anyway. And it just echoes this blown out of proportion because they're fed up with people attacking them. Because the slan are tasked with doing the will of the old gods, but the lizard men and the skinks are tasked with rebuilding the old world. So whenever old gets destroyed, they've got to rebuild it. So they're getting pretty pissed off with the Dark Elves because they're always having to rebuild stuff. And it just gives you this underlining reason of hatred. But then it mentions halflings out of nowhere for like an entire paragraph. And it's like, where's this come from? This is... And it's in Isle's book as well. So I don't know. It just seems like it's coming. It seems to me like Games Workshop, to make money, they need to release new models that haven't been out before, models that aren't being reinvented. And the best way to do that is like with the Ogre Kingdoms, where they release an entire new army.
Could well be. Well, we'll only be able to really tell in the future, so unless you've got a handy time machine.
I'll just call the doctor.
I'm just trying to find an old Scaven Blight Gazette article talking about, because raising the whole thing with the skinks, convincing the Slam that sort of there with certain things are going wrong, etc. There was the article, Mork might remember it a lot better than mine. Oh, I found it, issue 10 of the Scaven Blight Gazette. Talks about all the desperate alliances, to work them out in the fluff sense. So how Skaven might ally with High Elves, Dwarves, Wood Elves, the Empire, Bretonnia, and Lizardmen. Think of that. How would Lizardmen ally themselves with Skaven? Well, Mork?
I can't really think of a reason.
Well, I've got the article right in front of me. I've actually got the article right in front of me so I can cheat. let's see. Of what, not what I'm going to more get on as my point with this, that Skaven can actually try and sort of, Clan Mulder can try and steal some lizardmen eggs to breed their own corrupted lizardmen, mutated and improved with a warp stone. Though, what the results of that? Oh, yes, build me an army worthy of Skaven Blight. There's also another bit that I found really interesting of written. Who was it who wrote the article? Oh, Matthew Lee. Good work on that, it was. The Doom Plaque. So the whole sort of will of the old ones can be seen in these plaques and how they're interpreted and given by the skinks, more or less. So if the Skaven could sort of smuggle one of these plaques in, sort of saying that, oh, to sort of stop the path of chaos, you must sort of help out the Skaven in this battle and manage to trick the skinks who can pass on to the Slaan, or even trick the Slaan themselves, boom, get the whole Lizardmen just marching by their side.
Yeah, I remember that one, to be honest.
Quite a scary idea, really. Wonder how applicable that could be.
Apparently, they interpret the will of the plaques themselves. So I imagine if you put it on a plaque and put it in the temple, they'd do it. Because one of the main things in the Lizardman rulebook is, when the world was split, and for lack of a better word, Lustria South America was separated from Europe, one of the temples lies in like Africa. What we would know as Africa anyway. So it's like South America, Africa. And one of the plaques calls for this tornado to be made in a certain part of the world. And when it is done, because it's the will of the old ones, so they send some skinks to make sure it's done, the skink reports back that it is not one tornado, but two tornadoes. Because there's one on the left, in South Africa, and there's one in South America, and they can't communicate anymore because they communicate on line of sight, so they completely split off. So just to make sure, they do the exact same thing themselves, so you get these double event paradox things going off. So yeah, it's one of the stories in Lizardman book that it was like, they sent this skink to look out for this tornado, and he nearly gets sucked into one because there's two, and he doesn't realise there's two. And yeah, it's quite an entertaining story.
Oh, they're the ones who meant to really give this sort of path of the final plans and all that. Oh, and they're creating doubles.
Yeah, well, that's it. And it's like, well, if this half vortex can destroy the world, and we double it.
Oh,
it's one of them paradoxy things, isn't it? It's they need to somehow re-establish communication, but they can't.
Oh, it's almost like saying, you know what we should do? Two Doom Hemispheres.
Yeah, well, that's it, isn't it? It's like saying we should nuke somewhere, it twice. And it's like, yeah, that's going to seriously fuck it up. And the fallout would be horrendous.
No, both machines would malfunction and will not destroy Ulrichsburg. I sense there's still a little bit of a bitterness about that in a way.
Why would that possibly be?
Well, at least we've still got it in the fluff anyway behind the whole Storm of Chaos, even though that's been almost arguably maybe a bit retconned. It seems to be disappearing a bit.
It's been very retconned.
Well, I'm not going to sort of go too much into sort of saying directly that I think it has been absolutely retconned. Well, I might as well anyway, but it does really appear to be disappearing, and it's a bit worrying that. Sad.
I think they should just do what I was saying, and they should do like a Middle-earthy, you know, like 1700-esque Warhammer, where the elves are dead, you know, and whatever fallout that has, whether it impedes chaos, whether they do any good, because, you know, they've got to go on the offensive, because if they're all going to die out anyway, and they can't maintain the devices which keep things in check anyway, then they've got to push forward their advance, haven't they?
So you're basically saying there needs to be a Warhammer 4K. Because we're already in about 2,700 as the years.
Well, yeah, it should be something like that. Or 5K or whatever, you know.
Well, I'm saying 4K because then they can try and tie in with the next times that by 10.
Yeah, but that's not based on the same world, is it?
So. Well, there's some things even in the law that argue that it is partly that it's actually a whole different planet in the... It gets really stupid and confusing, all these sort of hearsay and rumours you get about all of that, that there's some sort of planet where the whole thing's based is actually in the 40k universe.
It is. Or it is. Yeah. If you read the 40k fluff, the old ones were the enemies of the Necrons. They were killed by the Necrons. That's what destroyed them. That the old world in the old one's book, which I can't even remember what it was called anymore, is hidden in some kind of pocket universe which is surrounded by black holes and stuff, so they can't.
Is the Warhammer world Gallifrey?
So here it comes. Transic on the